All right, we're in business. So let's go. The topic, of course, is Pesach Sheni, which is fascinating in a number of ways. But let's start with the most basic part, the most fascinating part. And today's shiur is going to be slightly different than usual. There's more parshanut, and it would help if more people participated. But here's the question. We're not a religion, it seems to me, of makeup dates. Meaning, if you don't take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, there's no makeup date. And if you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there's no makeup date. And if you don't, I don't know, if you don't eat cheesecake on Shavuos, we're not a religion of makeup dates. So the basic question we have to answer, or the basic question I think that hangs over us when you talk about Pesach Sheni, is why is there a makeup date? Right? What is so important about Karban Pesach that forces the Torah, so to speak, to create a makeup date? That's the basic question. Okay. Now, related to that could be a question of why is it a month later? That the truth is, I don't have anything to say about that. I don't know. So that's one thing. The second thing that's unique about the story of Pesach Sheni is that to some extent, it seems to be a human initiative. Certainly in the Torah, the Tmei Meis come to Moshe and Aaron and they say, Lama Nigara, right? Why should we lose out on the mitzvah? And Moshe says, Imduva Eshma Ma'itzava Hashem Lachem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back and says, good news. We're going to create another date on which you who are Tamei for this Karban can bring the Karban. So a dangerous question, but a fair question is, was that always the plan? Was it always the case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give us a din of Pesach Sheni? Or could it be that these people who were presumably tzaddikim and, were unhappy with the fact that they were going to miss Pesach Rishon, did they sort of cause a change in the Torah? Was their request for Pesach Sheni the reason why it's included in the Torah? Because, of course, we need a reason. When you look at the sheet, and why don't we just start there? You'll see something really interesting, right? Is it there? No. I know what the problem is. Here we go. Okay, good. Let's start at the beginning. Even before we start, there are two paragraphs in source number one. This is in Parshas Baaloscha in Bamidbar. The first is the story. The second, right, when you start a pasuk test, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Daber al b'nei Yisrael lemor, Ish ish kiyet tamei lanefesh, O b'derech chol ol derotahem, V'asa Pesach l'Hashem. That paragraph can exist in the Torah perfectly fine without the introductory paragraph. The introductory paragraph is the question, is the complaint that the people who were Tmei Meis came to Moshe and complained. And then Moshe says, okay, let's go to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the second paragraph seems like it could have existed in the Torah as the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni without the first paragraph. Everybody following this point? I think it's an important point. Let's read. Source number one. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ashana ha-shenit litzeitam me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha-rishon le'mor. It's now exactly 1 year from Yitzias Mitzrayim. And V'ya'asu B'nei Yisrael et ha-Pasach b'mo'ado. And B'nei Yisrael does the Karban Pesach. We all know there's a whole discussion about whether they were at fault for not having done the Karban. The only Karban Pesach that was brought in the Midbar is this one, right? There was no Karban Pesach from the second year until the 40th year. Okay, it could be because they had children who didn't have a bris milah and they couldn't have a bris milah because they were traveling the whole time. It's hard to know whether it's a good or a bad thing. They're at both Deos and Chazal. But the short answer is, the context is, they do Karban Pesach. Skip to Pasuk Vav, second line. Vayehi anashim asher hayut meim lenefesh adam. There were these people who were Tamei Meis. V'lo yachlu la'asot ha-Pesach b'yom ahu. They were prohibited from doing the Karban Pesach on that day. And they come to Moshe and Aaron on that day. So first things first, they were prohibited because the halacha says if you're tameh, you're what? You're patur in Karban Pesach, meaning they weren't doing anything wrong by not bringing the Karban Pesach. They were completely patur from bringing the Karban Pesach. Nevertheless, these anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam were unhappy with that, right? Their complaint was, I understand that halachically, I'm not obligated to bring the Karban Pesach, but I want to bring the Karban Pesach, right? They really seem like, you know, halachic heroes. So first of all, a side point, but a fascinating side point. Who were the anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam? Anybody?
I think they had carried the Aron of Yosef.
Okay, so there are three positions in Chazal. One of them is that they were Nosei Arono Shel Yosef. What's another one?
Dealt with the Mekoshesh, I think.
No. The second one is they were Mishael and El Tzafan, who were commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu to carry the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, who died, you know, in the Kodesh. They were tummy that way. The third is, you know, there was a mace mitzvah. Now, what do all of the questions imply? The fact that, you know, somebody says there were no Se'arono Shel Yosef, what does that mean? Yes, of course it does. But it means for some reason, they weren't just people who went to a funeral. There's a strain in Chazal that says, before the Chet HaMeraglim, people didn't die. Right? That's what all this is about. There were two different counts, you know, a year apart, and there a lot of Rishonim say it because nobody died. Of course, that just punts the question because the question is, but didn't anybody turn 20 in the last year? How did the numbers work out exactly the same 12 months apart? But it doesn't matter. Here, the sense you get, again, when you look in the Ibn Ezra, he says, yeah, they, who are they? They went to a funeral. So, you know, it can't be that nobody died. But when you say there no se'arono shel Yosef, when you say there was a Mace Mitzvah, when you say that El Mishael and El Tzafan, what you're really saying is there was no normal death in the Midbar, or there may have been no normal death in the Midbar. An in-between possibility is raised by the Torah Tmima, which is no. The point was to say that no matter how you became Tamei Meis, it was Doche, the Karban Pesach, right? You could say to yourself, it's 5 days before Pesach, I'm not going to go to a funeral today. I'd like to go. He was a good friend of mine, but I don't want to miss Karban Pesach. So that's the background to this discussion. Now, the second thing is, the Torah says, Vayhi anashim ashayu tmeim lenefesh adam, like they don't have names. Right? What would be so bad if it said, you know, Vayavo Mishael ve'el Tzafan shelo yachlu lasot ha-pesach bayamahu. Okay, the Torah does not tell us their names. We'll see why that's interesting in a second. Now let's go to Pasuk Zayin. Vayomeru ha-anashim ha-hema elav anachnu tumeim lenefesh adam. Lama nigara. What's nigara? It's like why should we exclude it? It's like a subtraction, right? You're gorea this from that. Lama nigara levilti hakrivet karban Hashem b'moado b'toch b'nei Yisrael. We don't want to be excluded from Karban Pesach. And then really a staggering pasuk. Vayomer alehem Moshe imdu v'eshma'a mayitzaveh Hashem lachem. Okay, you know what? I'll ask the boss. You make a good point. I don't really know the answer. I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is this doing in the Torah? What do we think? Again, when you read the next parsha, starting from Pasuk Tes, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, it's as if nothing came before it. Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Ish Ish Kiyet Tamei LeNefesh, O B'derech Rechokah Lachem. The Torah introduces a new halacha. They were Tamei Nefesh. They were not B'derech Rechokah. How do I know they weren't B'derech Rechokah? Because nobody was B'derech
Rechokah. They're all in the Midbar, near
correct.
Each other.
Nobody was B'derech Rechokah. O L'Dorotechem, forever, V'asa Pesach L'Hashem. What's the din? Yud Aleph. Bachodesh Hasheni Ba'arba Asar Yom Bein Harbaim Ya'asu Oto Al Matzot Umorim Yochluhu. There is, more or less, we'll see at the end, a new Yontif on the second month, on Iyar, on the 14th day of Iyar, exactly 1 month after the first Karban Pesach was due, in the afternoon, you bring a Karban Al Matzot Umorim Yochluhu. Lo yashiru mimenu ad boker, you can't have no sar, ve'etzem lo yishbruvo, still you can't break any bones. Kechol chukat ha-pesach ya'asu oto. Just interesting, the side halacha. Kechol chukat ha-pesach ya'asu oto. So what does that mean? So the answer is it means halachos that have to do with the Karban Pesach itself apply. So the prohibition to break a bone, the need to eat it al matzot umrorim, all those things apply. However, the good news is, and this is why Pesach Sheni is the greatest yontif ever, if we ever had to do it, you could have chametz in your house. There's no need to clean up, because that's an external halacha that has to do with the holiday, not an internal halacha that has to do with the karban. Okay, let's just finish. Yud Gimel. V'yaish ashehu tahor uviderech lo haya. A person who was far away, but he has no excuse. V'chadal asot ha-pesach. So let's just assume it's amazing. A person who doesn't bring Karban Pesach, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-hin me'ameha. He gets kares. Why? Ki karban Hashem lo hikriv b'mo'ado, cheto yisah ha-ishahu. Okay, that's very bad. Let's take a minute on kares, right? What's the chiddush that you get kares for not bringing Karban Pesach?
It's a mitzvah asay.
Okay, good. What's the other mitzvah? There's two mitzvot asay that you get kares for not carrying them out b'mezid. What's the other one? Everybody knows this.
Mila.
Bris Mila is the second one. Okay, good. Now, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's something I want to share. Many people ask the question, okay, how could there be a mitzvah asay that the punishment for which is kares? Isn't that reserved for lo tasays? What do Mila and Karban Pesach have in common?
Identifying with Bnei's, with Yahadus.
Some form of that, right. If you check like surveys in Israel, for example, this isn't definitive, but it's the case. More than 90% of Israelis, including Chilonim, circumcise their sons and have some form of a Seder. Right? What does that mean? It means people recognize that if you're not going to be involved in Karban Pesach on some form, if you're not going to give a bris milah, it's not so much that your punishment is going to be kares, it's that the consequences of your actions are going to cut you off from the Jewish people. There are some things that are so fundamental to Jewish identity that if you don't do them, it's not that God will punish you and you'll be cut off from the Jewish people. It's that by choosing to not give a bris milah, by choosing to not celebrate in some form Karban Pesach, you're separating yourself, you're literally giving yourself kares by separating yourself from the Jewish people. Okay, that's my sense. What about, okay, let's look at Rashi in source number two. Interesting Rashis. Lama nigara. So Moshe says, Amar lahem, ain't kadshim kravim betumah, because you're tame. Amrulo, we'll do like some trick. Yizare kadam aleinu b'kohanim tohrim v'yochala basar l'tohrim. No, we could still have Torah people do it. Amar lahem, Moshe imdu v'eshma'ah. Titalmid hamuvtach lishma mipi rabo. Right, what a great thing. Ashrei yelud isha, shekach muvtach. Shekol zman shehayo rotzeh. Right? How great is it that there's a human being who knows with confidence that if he wants to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll speak to him. Now, very important Rashi. Second to last full line, last two words. U're'uya haita parsha zo lehe'amer al yidei Moshe, tishar kol haTorah kula. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have given the halachos of Pesach Sheni like he gave the entire Torah. In other words, there was no need for the first paragraph in source number one. The narrative part doesn't matter. Moshe Rabbeinu could have given the halacha like he normally does. Ela shazachu elu sheteomar al yidehen. But these people were zocha that the parsha of Pesach Sheni was said in their name. Shem megalgalin zuchut al yidei zakai. Because they were great tzaddikim who complained. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the parsha in their name. Now, it just bothers me because I think to myself, in whose name? The Torah doesn't tell us who these people are. It literally hides their names. And then Rashi says, oh, it's a great zchus of these people that Pesach Sheni was said in their name, even though we don't know what their name was. It's a frustration that we don't know what their name was. Okay, now, dangerous question. What do we think? Is it really the case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always going to give the din of Pesach Sheni, but he held off knowing that this story was going to happen, that these people were going to complain, and therefore Pesach Sheni was written as if in response to the Anashim Hasher Hayu Tmeim LeNefesh Adam. But it really wasn't. It was always going to be the halacha. Or is it possible that these people literally changed halacha? They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, you know, in the purest way, we want to be included in Korban Pesach. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? We'll do a thing called Pesach Sheni. What do we think?
We think it's a dangerous question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I'll accept the criticism and we'll go on to something directly related.
I think it's murky waters.
Okay. Hey, I'll have something to say about that, but we'll wait because it's fine. And I recognize that something's like off the line, even though I got to tell you, I don't know how you read the psukim without asking the question or without thinking the question. But okay.
Does Rashi elsewhere?
Yes. Okay. We're about to look at it. I will admit this. Like, I think in Rashi, one second. I think in Rashi, it's clear that it was always going to be given, right? The end of Rashi, Ruya haita parsha zo lehe ameayde Moshe kishar kol ha-Torah kula. Really, it should have been given to Moshe Rabbeinu like every other parsha in the Torah. By the way, I'll add, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu like every other parsha in the Torah, because when you look in the second paragraph, there's no relationship to the first part. Vayderesh el Moshe lemor, tell them the halachos of Pesach Sheni. If the first paragraph wasn't there, I wouldn't know the difference. It wouldn't matter to me. The presentation really is like a regular halacha in the Torah. Ela shazachu elu sheteomer al yideihem. Okay, shemagaglin zchus al yidei zakai. Hard to know. I think in Rashi it's clear the halacha was always going to be given.
You have the same thing with Benot Slavchad.
Hello, source but number three.
But I have a bigger. I think
wait. Let's do it first.
It comes bigger with Gid Hanasha.
No, Gid Hanasha, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Gid Hanasha is not the same case. The machlokas in the Mishnah is the pasuk of Al Kain Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Gid Hanasha, right? Ki Nagak B'chafiyach Yaakov V'yavko Imo. The Rambam says that pasuk, or that halacha, was given at Har Sinai, but the Torah put it into the story back in Parshas Vayishlach.
No, my question is, if it hadn't happened, would we have that mitzvah?
And the answer is no. Well, the answer is I don't really know. But the answer is it doesn't matter. Because for the Rambam, it only matters what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said and gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where halacha comes from. It says the Rambam, it could be that literally the Bnei Yisrael at the time had the minhag of not eating Gid Hanasha, but that wouldn't bind us in any way. We're bound by the fact that at Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't eat Gid Hanasha. Okay, but let's do the case that we really have to do. It's Benot Slavchad, and it's an exact parallel to Pesach Sheni. Source number three. Vatigravna Benot Slavchad ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe Mishpachat Menashe ben Yosef ve'eile shmot Benotav. Machla, Noa, v'chagla, u'milka, v'tirza. So even though I'm telling you it's an exact parallel, right? In the first pasuk, we are snowed under by names of their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and then, of course, their own names, something that's completely missing from the parsha of Pesach Sheni. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing. Vata'amodlo lifnei Moshe v'lifnei Elazar HaKohen v'lifnei HaNisiim. Okay, that's another difference. They stood before Moshe and Elazar. Where was Aaron? Okay, trick question.
He was dead. He was dead.
He was dead, right? Elazar took over for his father. So that's not a difference. It's exactly the same. And what did they say? Here's a strange thing. Pasuk Gimel. Avinu meit b'amidbar, v'hu lo haya b'toch ha'eda ha'no'adim al Hashem ba'adat korach. Ki b'chet omeis. Okay, that whole thing is unnecessary. That's an interesting thing, that they felt the need to tell Moshe that their father died for his own sin, and not for the sin of Adas Korach, as if Moshe, you know, hated Adas Korach, which I think he did, and may have punished them if the father was part of Adas Korach, but thank God he wasn't. Okay, but the main point is, Ubanim lo hayu lo, right? He has no sons. And at that point, what's the halacha? If you have no sons, who inherits you? The answer is your father, your brothers, right? Your cousins, whoever inherits you has to be a male and related to you, but cannot be your daughter. Your daughter doesn't inherit. And Pasuk Dalet, and here's where, you know, the Torah makes it obvious that these are parallel cases. Says the Torah in Pasuk Dalet, Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto. Right? The Torah only uses the word twice. In Parshas Pesach Sheni, Lama nigara, why should we be excluded? And the Bnos Slavchad Lama Yigara. Okay, why should our father not be remembered? Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto Ki Ein Lo Bein. Why should he be erased from the history books because he has no son? T'na Lanu Achuza B'toch Achei Avinu. We want to inherit in our father's name. And then the same thing, Vayakrev Moshe Mishpatan Lifnei Hashem. So what's our take? The first group of people in Pesach Sheni, their complaint was, don't exclude us from a mitzvah. The Bnos Slavchad complaint might be seen as entirely altruistic, but it could also be seen otherwise, right? They're asking for an inheritance. So either, you know, they're the biggest Zionists in the world and they want to inherit, and I'm sure that that's true. But there's also self-interest involved, right? You know, if I inherit my father, I get something. The land was going to go to somebody in the Shevet. They asked that it go to them. Okay? Now, so that's the parallel. And the case goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like in the previous case. But now comes the biggest difference. Pasuk Vav, Vayom Hashem HaMoshe Lemor. Hein Benot Slavchad Dovarot. They're right. Now, why is this different than Pesach Sheni? Because again, as we saw on top, the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the case of Pesach Sheni did not relate to the question. There's no, you know, Kain Anashim Asher Hayu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam Dovrim. There's nothing like that. There's just, okay, here's the halachas of Pesach Sheni. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kain B'notz Lavchot Dovarot, I'm sorry to say, to me, it makes me start to think they changed the halacha. They forced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to think about it. And he thought, you know what? It's unfair that women can't inherit. Kain belot slavchot dovarot, naton titein lohem achuzat nachala betoch achei avihem, v'ha'avartal nachala et nachalat avihem lohem. They deserve to inherit. Ve'el b'nei Yisrael t'daber limor. And here's the halacha, ish kiamut uvein ein lo v'havartem et nachlato levito, etc., etc. Now, interesting, there is one carve-out, right? It's a funny pasuk that I didn't put on the sheet because I forgot about it. What does the pasuk say? To the Bnot Slavchad, Moshe says, you inherit, and you could marry anyone you want, so long as he's your cousin.
He's from Yeshevet.
So long as he's your cousin. That's essentially what it is, which is, you know, a huge, huge restriction. It's a halacha that changed later, by the way, right? Eventually, they were allowed to marry outside of their shevet. But for the time being, that was the halacha. Same, let's look at Rashi again. We looked at Rashi on top. Let's look at Rashi again. Source number 4 says Rashi. Vayakrev Moshe mishpatan lifnei Hashem nit alma halacha mimenu. Moshe forgot the halacha. Vikan nifra al shenatal atara lomar. It's like an insult to Moshe. Here he was paid back because a long, long time ago, when Moshe talked about setting up a court system we associated with Yisro, he said, "V'hadavar sheyikshem ikem takrivun elai." Any really hard question comes to me. So ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch was punishing him by making him forget because he said, "I can answer any hard question." Davar acher, second, re'uya haita parsha zo lihikatev al yidei Moshe ela shezachu benot slavchad v'nichteva al yadan. Similar to what we saw with respect to Pesach Sheni, right? Really, the halacha couldn't be given by Moshe, but these people, whose names we know, by the way, these people were zoche to have the parsha written in their name. Okay, that's first. Next, Rashi Zion. Kei benot slavchot dovrot. The Targum says yeyot. They're right. Tach kituva parsha zo lefanai bamarom magid shera'ata einam. In the second shot of Rashi, my question is a stupid one. Rashi says, of course the halacha was always going to be this way, right? It was written in the celestial Sefer Torah. And Benot Slavchad intuited this or somehow saw it, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. Okay, again, those two Rashis are both kind of knocks on Moshe Rabbeinu, but then you have the third one. Kain Benot Slavchad wrote, Yafet Tiva'o, Ashrei Adam Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Modeh Lidvarav. Here, I think you finally have a source that they changed halacha. Yafet Tiva'o, they make a good argument. And Rashi says, Ashrei Adam Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Modeh Lidvarav. The sense I get here is that the halacha was going to be what it always was, which is only men inherit. And Benot Slavchad showed up, and they argued, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to change the halacha. Now, I'm not nervous to say that because we don't have a mechanism to do this anymore, right? It's not like you come and complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it'll change the halacha now. But it happened once. And if it happened once, at least in theory, it shows that we have a bigger chelek in Torah than we thought we would have. Now, just to admit something, that's how I read the Psukim. I happened to have a conversation yesterday about this issue with Rav Amnon Bazak, and he's the opposite of me, and he's much smarter, so maybe you should go that way. He says Pesach Sheni changed the halacha, Benot Slavchot did not change the halacha. He thinks the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't relate at all to the Tmei Meis in Pesach Sheni means he changed the halacha. I don't see it. I don't understand it, you know, but think about it. But the point is, he also thinks that there was a time in history where human beings changed halacha. Okay, it's not revolutionary at all, because I don't think it could happen again. But that it happened once is a statement of the fact that we have a bigger chelek in Torah than we normally think we do. Okay, we good so far? Okay, excellent. Now, let's go back to our original question. The original question was, what's so special about Korban Pesach, right? Why is it that when you think about it, what makeup dates do we have in the Torah? Anything come to mind? There's one that we all know, which is there's such a thing called Tashlumin for davening, right? So if you miss Shachris, you daven to Minchas. If you miss Mincha, you daven to Marv. If you miss Marv, you daven to Shachris the next morning. Right at the next tefillah, it's limited, but at the next tefillah, if you are a shogeg, not if you're a mazid, but if you are a shogeg, you get to daven again. Just as a side point, but it's very similar to Pesach Sheni. You know, what's the din if you like, you work for Hatzalah? So you work for Hatzalah, so you're on a call all morning. By the time the call ended, you can no longer daven. In that case, you don't have an opportunity for tashlumin. But you don't. It's not that you lose the opportunity for tashlumin because you did something wrong. You lose the opportunity for tashlumin because you did something right. Because you were doing the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, you were doing the mitzvah of achai bohem, you were taking care of a Jewish life, or any kind of life for that matter. So there's no need for you to do Tashlumin, which is kind of like the Anashim Ashayu Tmeim LeNefesh Adam. If they were really doing a mitzvah, either a mace mitzvah, or they were carrying Yosef's Aron, or they were Mishael and El Tzafan, they were carrying their cousins out of the Kodesh, it was a mitzvah. And nevertheless, they complain. We're not doing anything wrong by not bringing Korban Pesach, but we feel excluded. Okay, that's an aside. There are also some situations in Karbanos. It's even in this week's Parsha. It comes up twice in Rashi. The first where Rashi says, Avar Yomo Batel Karbano. No, every Karban is just that day. If you miss the day, you miss it. But then Rashi mentions that with respect to Regalim, there are makeup dates. There is Tashlumin. For the Karban Chagiga, if you can't bring it on that first day, there's too many people, it's too crowded in the Beis HaMikdash. So if it's Sukkos or Pesach, you have all the other days of the Yantav to bring your Karban Chagiga. If it's Shavuos, fascinatingly, you have the next week, even though it's not Yantav anymore, you have the next week to bring a Karban Chagiga. And of course, we know nowadays, we don't really say Tachno in the week after Shavuos. It's because of that din. But it's very, very limited, right? And there's no din with respect to big mitzvahs, like we mentioned before, that there are makeup dates. So why is there a makeup date with respect to Karban Pesach? So it's not shocking, but let's read the Sefer Achinuch, who's going to answer the question. Source number 5. Mishar Shea Mitzvah. What's the rationale for the mitzvah? Says V'chinuch. Lefi Shem Mitzvahs HaPesach Hu Ot Chazak Ubarur L'chol Roei HaShemesh B'chidush HaOlam. The idea of Karban Pesach is literally a proof to the world that God created the world. Why? Ki Az Ba'ei Tahi Asa Imanu HaKel Baruch Hu Nisim V'Niflo B'Golo. Vishina teva ha'olam leinei amim rabim, because at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu did major miracles, and he changed the nature of the world in front of everybody. Why does it matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the rules of nature? This is the key point. Because if you have the power to change the rules of nature, it means you made up nature. You created the world. Only the person who created the world can change the rules in the middle. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki ashkachato v'yechalto batachtonim. In addition, God showed not just that his hashkacha stretches to earth, but that he cares about what happens on earth. V'az v'etahi ha'aminu ha'kol. At that moment, says the Chinuch, everybody believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anybody who comes after them will believe in the truth of the Torah. Shehu Baruch Hu, Bara Ha'olam Yesh Me'ayin Be'et Sheratzah. First principle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world at the time that he wanted to, something from nothing, right? Nobody in the world can create something from nothing. Everybody in the world creates something from something. Right, I read an article once that all the great inventions are not really inventions. They're just, I was puttering around and this thing happened. Right, Post-its, by the way. They were a failed glue. And they thought, okay, we'll make Post-its. It was a really great idea. V'hu ha'eta yodua. Okay, God created the world when he did. V'af al pi shebriat hayesh min ha'ayin hu davar nimna midachei ha'teva. Any scientist will tell you, you can't create something from nothing. So similarly says, ki kimokein, nimna livka mitzulot yam ad avor bitocha am kaved bayabasha v'yashuvulim koman. You know what else is impossible? Splitting an ocean so that millions of people could pass in the middle of it and leaving it split till they get where they're going. You know what else is impossible? Ula hachayot am gadol v'rav arba'im shana milechem hayared min hashamayim biyom yom. Right? Man is also impossible. It's impossible to take 2 million people into the Midbar and feed them, you know, magically for 40 years. V'yeter ha'otot v'hamovtim she'asa lanu bo'etahi she'kulam nidchatshu behefach hatvayim. And all the other miracles that happened at that time, all of which are impossible, all of which require it suspending the rules of nature. V'inyan, where the cursor is, I'm a little more than halfway down. It's good stuff. V'inyan chidush ha'olam, right? The idea of creation, the idea that the world was created, Hu ha'amud hechazak be'emunateinu uvetorateinu. That's a foundational principle in our belief and in the Torah. Ki lema'amine hakadmut, because if you believe that the world pre-existed, ein Torah v'chelek l'olam haba im Yisrael, you're not part of the Jewish people. That's foundational. Yadua hadavar ein laha'arich b'mefursam. Says B'chinuch, I'm not going to bore you with the details because it's so obvious. Al Kain, fourth line from the bottom. Hayame ritzono baruch hu lezakot b'mitzvah zo hanichbedet kol ish mi Yisrael. Therefore, because Yitzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental, because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, more than matzah and more than maror and more than all the other mitzvahs that we have, reminds us not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So says the Chinuch, we don't want details like Tuma, like being Rederech Choka, to stop a person from participating in that mitzvah. Avon enas, right? Because it's not your fault, it was an onus. So if you had an onus, b'chodesh harishon, b'lo zachaba, im hakodmin, okay, you were tame and you couldn't do it the first time. Ya'aseh otah b'chodesh hasheni. Why? U'lefishu yisod gadol b'dat, higia hachiyuv gam kein. Okay, we'll leave that for now. So the Chinuch says simply, you know why there's a makeup date for Korban Pesach? Because it's too important for a person not to be part of. Right? It emphasizes the foundational principle. The way I think about it, by the way, right, there are two major things that we remember, that we use to remember in Yadus. What are they? One is Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim, that's the Korban Pesach. What's the other thing?
Shabbos.
Maaseh Bereishis.
Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. The difference is as follows. Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis is a mitzvah to believe in it. No one was there, no one saw it. So I believe in it. But Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's not a mitzvah of belief. That's a mitzvah of fact. Because my great-great-great-great-grandfather told it to his children, who told it to their children, who told it to me. But there are millions of people who saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so says the Chinuch, it would just be unfair to exclude any of them from the positive aspect of telling them that it exists. And so that's why there's a mitzvah of Pesach Sheni and not any other mitzvah, simply because, says the Chinuch, Korban Pesach is the most important mitzvah. Now, what about Bris Milah? Anybody?
You need Bris Milah to eat Korban Pesach.
No, but Bris Milah has a makeup date. It's not a month later. Every day of your life that you're an RL, you have an opportunity to fix that. There is no expiration date on Bris Milah. So it turns out, you know, if we're making a list of mitzvahs that have makeup dates, Bris Milah is part of it also. Debbie's right. Of course, you can't have a Korban Pesach without Bris Milah. They're tied halachically, but they're tied philosophically in that they're each the same type of mitzvah. Okay. A few minutes of lumdus, and then we'll stop. The Gemara has three possibilities in terms of what Pesach Sheni is. Obviously, first of all, if anyone has an idea, they could try. I don't have any ideas about why it's a month later, other than why not? I mean, it can't be the next day, because that's not going to work for people who are tame, right? If you became tame that day, you need a week. So a week later is still going to be Pesach. That's a little odd. 2 weeks later, you know, I feel like, okay, it just makes sense to do it a month later. Who knows? Oh, sorry. One word on Derech Rechoka, right? The halacha is if you were Tamei, you bring Pesach Sheni. If you were Biderech Rechoka, you also bring Pesach Sheni. What's Derech Rechoka? This is a machlokes, right? One machlokes is something like Modi'in. It's 15 kilometers from Yerushalayim. But the other is the Askufas HaMikdash. If you're outside of the Mikdash, or if you're outside of Yerushalayim, you're Biderech Rechoka, even if you're allowed to get there, which is going to make a big difference, the Mos HaMashiach, because, you know, you can get there from Teaneck, you know, in 8 hours, in 10 hours, in 12 hours, whatever it is. You know, we have faster transport than we used to, which of course gets to what I think is the greatest chumrah in the world. I'm not knocking it because it has some truth to it, right? there's always a discussion about we should bring Korban Pesach this year. It's not clear that Korban Pesach needs a Beis HaMikdash, right? So every year there are these lunatics from Chevron who get arrested with goats in their car, you know, as if they're actually going to bring the Korban Pesach. It happens. But it gives birth to this really cool or not cool chumrah, which is, I'm not in Yerushalayim Erev Pesach. Because I want, in case there's an obligation to bring Korban Pesach, I want to be far away so that I don't have this obligation. Okay? That's the second coolest chumrah in the world. The first is the guy who moves his car on December 25th in Manhattan because he doesn't want to be nan at all from Christmas. Okay, that I think is the coolest chumrah in the world. You could send me separately, you know, I'll write a book one day about crazy chumras, but that's where we're starting. Okay, let's go to the Gemara very quickly. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you could bring Korban Pesach a month after Pesach? So the Gemara has three possibilities. Tanu Rabbanan, source number six. Gemara in Pesachim Tzad Gimel Amud Aleph. Chayav Kares Al HaRishon V'Chayav Kares Al HaSheni Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, if you don't bring Korban Pesach the first time on purpose, you're Chayav Kares. You don't bring Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, you're Chayav is second Kares. How can you be Chayav two Kareses? It's like a person got, you know, five life sentences. That's a technicality. That's Rebbe. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Chayav Kares al HaRishon, Upotar al HaSheni. No, you can only be Chayav Kares once. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Omer, Af al HaRishon, Eino Chayav Kares, Elo Im Kein Lo Asa at HaSheni. Okay, even Pesach Rishon, you're not Chayav Kares, it's like it's hanging over you. If a month later you don't bring Karm Pesach again, then you get Kares. Each of the three follow their own shita. Ditanya, ger shenit gayer ben shnei psachim, v'chein katan shehigdil ben shnei psachim. Let's say you converted between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, or you became bar mitzvah between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. By the way, a much better bar mitzvah speech is, do I have to bring Karm Pesach on Pesach Sheni? It's much better than the standard Sfira Sa'omer speech. That's just my sense. Okay, but what happens? I didn't do anything wrong. On Pesach Rishon, I wasn't chayav in bringing a korban. What's the din? Okay, so says the Gemara, if you converted between, or if you're a katan, you became a mitzvah, chayav la'asot Pesach Sheni divrei Rebbe. Why would Rebbe say such a thing? So the answer is, because Rebbe thinks that Pesach Sheni is a regel bifnei atzmo. It really has nothing to do with Pesach Rishon other than the fact that if you did Pesach Rishon, you don't have to do Pesach Sheni. But if you didn't do Pesach Rishon for any reason, including because you weren't chayv in Pesach Rishon, you have to bring Pesach Sheni. It's a standalone regel. Second shita, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Kol shezokok l'rishon, if you were chayv in the first one, Zokok l'sheni. Paul she'ein zokok l'rishon, if you weren't chayv in the rishon, meaning you weren't Jewish, you weren't a gadol, ein zokok l'sheni. Says the Gemara, b'may kamiflagei, Rebbe savar sheni regel b'fnei atzmohu. No, Rebbe says, Pesach sheni is a standalone yantif. Rabbi Nassan savar, no. Sheni tashlumen derishon hu, tikune l'rishon, lo makinle. It can't fix the mistake you made on Pesach Rishon, but it can help you fulfill your obligation. And the last shita is Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Savar, Sheni Takanta de Rishon Hu. No, Pesach Sheni fixes Pesach Rishon. If you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, your sin is held in abeyance. If you bring Pesach Sheni, you fixed it. If you don't, you get Kares. Okay. Those are the three logical possibilities, each of which is recognized and acknowledged in halacha. Okay, what is the Rambam paskin? Last thing, says the Rambam in source number five, I'll tell you this, he paskins like Rebbe, sort of, says the Rambam. Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perakei Halacha Aleph. Mi shehaya tamei bishat shitat ha-Pesach, Shein shochtin alav, o shahaya b'derech rechoka. Right? If either of the two carve-outs apply to you, that you were shogeg and you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, meaning it wasn't your fault. You were either tameh or you were far away. Oneanas ba'onas acher, your car broke down on the way to the Beis Hamikdash. O sheshogag v'lo hikriv Rishon, for any reason you didn't do it on purpose, but you didn't bring a karban. Says the Rambam, harei zem mevi Pesach ba'arba'a asar l'chodesh hasheni bein harbaim. You have to bring karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Ushchitat Pesach ze mitzvat asei bifnei atzmo v'doche tashabbat she'ein hasheni tashlumin l'rishon ela regel bifnei atzmo l'fika chayavim alav kares. Right, something we don't have time to discuss is why does the Rambam count Pesach Sheni as an independent mitzvah asei? Wouldn't it just be a detail, right? I have a mitzvah to bring Pesach Rishon, and oh, by the way, if for whatever reason I could not bring Pesach Rishon, I have a mitzvah to bring Pesach Sheni. The Rambam says, no, I don't hold that way. How do I hold? I hold like Rebbe. I think Pesach Sheni is a regel bifnei atzmo. It stands on its own. It's true. It only stands on its own if I didn't bring Pesach Rishon. But if I didn't bring Pesach Rishon, there is a separate independent obligation of Pesach Sheni that's ki'ilu, not related to Pesach Rishon. Okay? That's the Rambam. The problem is, we're not going to have time to do it, but Halacha Bet is not really consistent with Halacha Aleph. Let's read it. Halacha Bet, Ketzad. Mi sheshagag o ne'enas v'lo hikriv v'rishon. Let's say for whatever reason you were shogeg, you didn't bring Pesach Rishon. Im hezid v'lo hikriv b'sheni chayav kares. Okay, if you don't bring the second time, you'll be chayav kares. By the way, in which case, Pesach Sheni isn't such a good thing. Because you were shogeg the first time, you're not chayav kares. But if you then don't bring it the second time, and you're amazed, then you'll be chayav kares. Second line, vim shogag onenas af b'sheni potur. Right? If the second time around, you were also a shogeg, fine, you're not going to get kares for that. Hazid v'lo hikriv b'rishon. This is a bit of a surprise, right? You were chay of kares the first time because you did it on purpose. Nevertheless, you have to bring the second time. Vim lo hikriv b'sheni, afal pi sheshogag, harei ze chay of kares, shaharei lo hikriv korban Hashem b'moado, v'hayamezid. It's a bit of a chiddush because the first time around, you were amazing. The second time around, you were shogeg. Says the Rambam, no, there are two separate requirements. If you were mazed for either of them, you're chayv kares. Aval. Misha yatame obedech rechoka v'lo asata rishon. You had an excuse for not bringing Pesach Rishon. Afal pi shehezid b'sheni, eino chayv kares, shekfar nifta b'pesach rishon min hakares. This is the problematic line in the Rambam. He says, if, like the Pasuk says, you were Tamei or B'derech Rechoka, the first Karban Pesach, even if you were Mazid in the second Karban Pesach, you're not Chayev Kares. Why? Because once you passed Pesach Rishon without being Mazid in Karban Pesach, there's no opportunity for you to get Kares from Pesach Sheni on its own. Right? That's a little inconsistent with Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Shita was, Sheni is a regular bifnei atzmo, just like if I was mazid b'karban Pesach Rishon, I get kares. If I'm mazid on the second time, I get another kares. Here the Rambam seems to be changing that and seems to say that no, Pesach Sheni, we have to recognize it's got to have some element of a makeup. And if you were shogeg, if you were tamei or b'derech rechoka on the first karban Pesach, then there's no way you could be chayav Kares on the second Karban Pesach, because even if you're amazed, it's not going to generate its own Chiyuv Kares, right? To sort out this Rambam would take us a long time, and I don't really know the answer yet, but let's just review quickly. We looked at two different cases. We looked at the case of a Tamei or B'derech Rechoka for Karban Pesach, and it said Lama Nigara, and we saw, you know, in the Psukim, how the second parsha of Pesach Sheni never references the first parsha. It never talks about the Anashim Ashayu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam. You know, maybe that makes it a bigger chiddush, maybe that makes it a lesser chiddush. And just a side point, that we don't know their names is interesting. Then we saw Bno Slavchad, the same thing, except we know their names. And there, the second parsha, the pasuk says, Kain Bno Slavchad Dovarot. I think it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with them and changed the halacha. I recognize it's just speculation. People say the opposite. Some people here think it's crazy to even think that way. I happen to believe that the idea that we have input into the Torah and that we're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an idea that speaks to me, but I recognize it doesn't speak to everybody. What's the answer to the question of why Karban Pesach has a makeup date, but no other mitzvahs in the Torah have a makeup date? Says the Chinuch, it's simple. Karban Pesach is the most fundamental, most important mitzvah in the Torah. All the fundamental beliefs in the Torah come from Karban Pesach. Okay, and we talked about the kares and the connection to Bris Milah. And finally, we saw in the Gemara a three-way machlokes about how Karban Pesach works, right? Is it a regel b'fnei atzmo? Is it a makeup date? Is it an actual fix for what happened originally? The Rambam more or less holds like Rebbe Shita that it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, except as we pointed out, the Rambam doesn't think you can get kares b'mezid on Pesach Sheni, whereas he thinks you can get kares b'mezid on Pesach Rishon. All right, that's it. Yashkoch to everybody. Have a great, great week. And I guess I'll see you next Friday.
Yeah, Mitzvah Hashem.
Yashkoch, have a good luck.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you. Are you comfortable there?
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
No, Jackie, no need to get up. It's fine. Also, you're muted. So whatever you're saying, we can't hear.
It's a couch. I just can't get up. You know, these Israeli couches.
Is there someone I should contact?
Yeah, my son.
Should I drive to Yerushalayim to help you?
I'm right here.
They still have those commercials? I fall in and I can't get up. There's a button you could have.
Ellie, I'm right here in the Zion.
Ooh. You could hear me. I don't even need to Zoom. Wow, that's scary.
Good Shabbos.
All right. Good Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos. See you next week.